Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo of letting go, oh God.
Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and this is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today, and I'm having a little trouble with feedback, I think. I'm going to turn this down. Today is February 7th, Wednesday. And if you're not listening on February 7th, 2018, then you're listening to a rebroadcast or a podcast. But if you are listening live, you can call us in during this talk radio show at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And I'm Doubter 5, like I said, and we have Wombat on the phone. Can you say hi, Wombat?
Hi, Wombat!
Hey, Wombat, welcome to the show. And with us today, we have a special guest and future DJ, Heather. Say hi, Heather.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah.
And Scottish in the house.
And Scottish in the house, that's right. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll talk about religion, religious faiths, God's holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville or East Tennessee, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them after the mid-show break. Also, did you know this, Wombat, that there's been an atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville and has been for over 7 years? Did you know that, Wombat?
I know it's been on around, but I'm just not into sports. I just feel like it's a bunch of millionaires arguing with each other and throwing a ball around. And then I don't understand the point system very much.
Right?
I don't know. I just think it's a little bit of too much. Just let them have their bowls.
I still don't think you found the right
channel. I just mostly watch it for the commercials.
No. We don't have any commercials. Free Thought, I'll get it right here in a second. Free Thought Forum is a atheist call-in TV show that's been going on for 7 years, and it's on Comcast Channel 12. It's every Wednesday night about... I think it starts at 6:30, so it's actually going on right now, 6:30 to 7:30. So watch Comcast Channel 12 on Wednesdays at 6:30, but leave the show and listen to our show at 7 o'clock if you can. Anyway, we'll tell you a little bit more about it later on in the show. And in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing some of them right here on this program and generally on the station as they are in rotation. You heard one of them as the intro. The intro was Letting Go of God, which is a theme song for a one-woman show done by Julia Sweeney. That's right. She used to play Pat.
She did. Correct.
She did.
She played Pat on Saturday Night Live. Thank you. And what's our topic tonight there, Wombat? What do we got going?
Today we're
going
to be talking about beliefs, and I have a great clip to show. It's one where I've taken it out of a bigger podcast that I'm trying to set up for. It's about street epistemology. Street epistemology, by the way, is just a way of talking to people who about deeply held beliefs without turning the conversation into an argument or making it someone feel uncomfortable. It's just a friendly way to talk about deep beliefs and really how people got to have such great confidence in the things that they believe in. Can we talk about it, and can we figure out whether or not it's a good belief to have, or they've used a good way to get to that belief? Mm-hmm. So the topic today will be when can you possibly take a street epistemology session too far? Basically the clip sets itself up, but I was talking with a friend and he gave me a really empathetic reason for why he uses his faith to keep him sober and keep him away from alcohol. And I wanted to share that with other people and let them know, hey, there's a way that you can have these kinds of conversations where you totally respect where the person is coming from and can still have a really introspective look at what they believe and why they believe it.
Okay.
How about we start the clip?
Yeah. Okay. We'll start the clip. It's about a 15-minute clip, so it's going to go on. Anyway, here we go, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
All right.
Hi, this is Ty. Welcome to another episode of Let's Chat, an audio experience of street epistemology for now. Currently an audio experience for now. This is an interesting talk because I was speaking to a person who believed in God as a way to keep him from relapsing into alcoholism. And so immediately I was faced with this really big conundrum of how far do I want this conversation to go, because I don't want this person to have a bad consequence as a result of our conversation. The scenario here is that I meet with my walking group about once a week around the place where I live, and I met a new friend of a friend. His name was Rob, and we hung in the back and just had some time to chat.
I might as well try it. When in Rome, do it. And even in the meeting, even during this talk, I'm like, this was a bad idea.
You feel it just start
right
to move around.
Afterwards, my body was just like, nope, just pulled every lever. And I'm like, I told my boss, like, I gotta go. And my home was like, maybe like a 5-minute walk away. And I'm walking like this as best as I can. And it's just like.
So we're going back and forth. We're having a great time. And then Rob takes the conversation into a really interesting area. He says that he had gone traveling to Iceland with his son once, and he had seen a waterfall that was so beautiful that it was proof to him that a god existed.
Niagara? What are we talking about?
Oh,
bigger. Whoa!
Louder.
Are you kidding me?
Because it's got these 90-degree turns, and then 100-foot drop, and then another 90-degree turn, and another 200-foot drop. It's just, and it's definite.
Wow.
Again, another example of people didn't believe there was a god.
You say those beautiful sights have supported your faith?
I would say that they amplified it.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. These things can't happen by chance. It's just too much.
These things just don't happen by chance. Whenever I hear that, I really want to delve into a belief like that. So I got his permission to see if we could do a quick, 5-minute interview. But I quickly realized that his reasons for believing in his own higher power were far more crucial to him than it was for me as a training exercise in street epistemology. So I asked him how he came to his belief in the higher power, and he said he came to it through Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was literally the only thing that was able to get him through the entire program, and that's how we knew it worked for him.
Well, we talk about it for like a couple minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. I can't believe in higher power through Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh.
Because nothing was going to work for me unless I found, because I was not beating the booze. I had needed to hand it over to somebody who could be. And that's really what happened.
Okay.
And, I had no choice but to say, okay, let's get this, try and turn out it worked. So, sold me.
Now, that was already a bigger response than I could have ever anticipated. Still, I guess I just wanted to find out what kind of God we were talking about during this conversation, because I didn't want to automatically assume that he was a Christian. So I asked him, what is the God that he believes in? And I got a really incredible answer.
Is that the main reason why you came to that? Or what faith are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't...
Not to assume, Muslim God?
No.
It's higher power?
See, my thing is, my take is that if I were to try to define what my God or higher power is, it would be really arrogant.
Oh.
It would be me imposing my will, my views on, it'd be putting limits on what that power is.
Okay.
And that's not my job.
So even though we said it wasn't his job to define what God was, the entire reason why we started this conversation was because he was attributing things in nature as a creation made by his higher power. So I brought that up.
It did sound like when we were talking to Isaac that you were convinced that the higher power created these things. Though.
Well, there is that too.
It's okay.
It is evidence, but it's certainly not. I would say that it certainly lends support to the notion that there is an intervention of God.
Okay.
But really, in terms of my faith is based on, what is around me and me getting in touch with it.
Like nature?
Not just
community?
Getting outside of myself.
Ah, okay.
Because the more time I spend with myself, the more trouble I get into.
In case you didn't hear that, he said that the more time he spent with himself, the more trouble he got into. And that sounded like another red flag to me, to the point where I was willing to just stop the interview right there. This God belief did so much for Rob, and I wanted to find out, really, just how much value was he getting out of it? Like, what did it do for him?
It makes me appreciate something other than me.
Things other than yourself.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it's unburdening, I'll tell you that much. Do you have a faith?
So if we're going to talk about like a God, you can think about it like a spectrum from like 0 to 100. There are a lot of people who are like maybe on the 100 scale. Like, how confident are you that this God's true or this higher power is true? Like from 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
100?
Yeah.
That's really, really high.
Well, because I can't have it any other way. I have to believe. Not because people tell me I have to believe, it's just because if I start having doubts and putting more faith in myself over something bigger than me, I'm screwed.
Do you think you would relapse if you didn't have this faith to help you?
Yeah.
You couldn't have seen it at the time, but he firmly nodded his head and said, yeah, he would have relapsed.
It wouldn't necessarily happen immediately, but it would happen at some point.
Is like the faith more or less just a really good anchor for you to keep from relapsing more than it is a claim that something's actually true?
Well, I think it's definitely the first, but it's also something that opens up life for me.
Sure, I can see that too. It's like a philosophy then.
Right, I mean, it's like if I'm very rigid in my thinking and thinking that, I am right. It relieves me of some responsibility that I didn't need to take on. And
that's less stress.
Less stress. And allows me to pay attention more to everything outside of me. Other people. It allowed me to learn Spanish.
Oh, wow.
So just to summarize, I asked him if his faith was more of just an anchor to keep him from relapsing than it was a claim on something actually being true. And he said it's pretty close to, that, but his faith also allows him to have, less stress. It's less of a burden because he doesn't have to take on so much responsibility for his actions. And it opens up his life. Because of that, he'd even develop new talents such as learning how to speak Spanish. At this point, I guess I just wanted to find out what would have happened if he had developed all of these special talents and insights without having that belief. If you could get to that same place without having to believe in a higher power, would it mean anything more to him? I asked him that, and this was his response.
Would that mean anything more to you than would be more or less?
I think it'd be about, it'd be different, but it would be more or less. It'd just be a different kind of thing.
That's very cool.
And for somebody like me who has been pretty full of himself for most of his life, learning humility is a good thing.
I think so as well. Absolutely.
That's what grown-ups have.
Do you think it's possible to be humble and not have these beliefs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, for me, this is what it takes. But it has made my life much more open and full since I drinking. You know, at the point where you stop putting poison in your body, things get a lot easier. But you know, changing my way of thinking is also important.
So to put it this way, Rob's life has dramatically improved now that he's no longer an alcoholic, and he attributes that improvement to a god, specifically his higher power. The only thing was, I didn't find his reasoning convincing, but I was afraid to point out flaws without causing him to, like, relapse. I didn't want that either. So instead, I brought up an analogy, and the analogy went something like, say there was a person who also had a substance abuse problem, went through a 12-step program, got out of it successfully, and used that as justification that Allah or Vishnu was the one true God. Would they be justified using that reasoning to come to the conclusion that their belief is actually true?
Does that make their belief true? Well, it's good for them. Where I would find it difficult to follow is if they try to impose it on other people. Because then there really is something wrong with your thing. That's where, because they think about faith is that you take it on faith. You don't have evidence that you accept it.
So Rob's point was, they can believe whatever they want, as long as they, you know, don't try to force other people to believe it. Because what was important to him wasn't so much being force-fed an ideology, but having the opportunity to take that ideology on faith alone. And faith is a big word in street epistemology. It's such a weird thing for people to base their beliefs on. So I asked him, is faith something that he founds his beliefs on? And he said, yeah, because at a certain point, you can't scientifically prove everything, so at a certain point, you're going to need to take a leap of faith. We decided to talk about that for a little bit, and that led us into the end of the talk.
I mean, is faith a big part of your beliefs? Well, yeah, I mean, I kept it at a certain point, I have to take a leap and just let it work for me. Do you think faith, or having faith in something, which is, I think, as you defined it, taking the leap when you don't have the evidence, is that a reliable way to come to true conclusions?
I'm just going to repeat that question because I think it's so important for this conversation. I ask Rob, is faith, and by that I mean taking leaps when you don't have the evidence, a reliable way to come to true conclusions?
Well, I think the question is what you define as a true conclusion.
His response was, well, that depends on what you define as a true conclusion. And my immediate response was that which comports with reality.
Something that comports with reality. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's... the thing. You have the faith, you take the leap, and either it works or it doesn't. If it works, sometimes, you know,
well, somehow we lost the audio. We'll see if we can get it going again here. There it is.
For all the wind. This is more or less what Rob was saying. Sometimes faith works, sometimes it doesn't. When it does work, it's great. But when it doesn't, that could be so crushing, and you're left with nothing. And that could be so much to take, especially on your own. And sometimes you're just better off, as he put it so poignantly. Sometimes you're better off just accepting the fiction.
Sometimes you allow yourself to accept the fiction, you know?
Sometimes you allow yourself to accept a fiction.
Yeah.
For the benefit of improving your life.
Right. Because it gets you out of the way. It gets me out of the way.
Is it important for you to believe the true things?
When I'm dealing with others, I like to have truth. In terms of dealing with myself, sometimes faith is enough.
Okay.
Yeah. But facts are always important for
sure. That was a great talk. Thank you.
Back at you.
Thank you all.
We concluded our talk there, but I'm still thinking about one of the last things he said, where he was saying that when he's dealing with other people, facts are really important to him. But when he's dealing with himself, faith was enough for him. And he clearly makes the distinction between facts and faith. but gets so much value and utility from faith that he's not willing to let go of it. And I didn't know where else I could go in that kind of conversation. I'm interested to hear what you guys think. Did I go too far? Did I not go far enough? What would you have done in this situation? Anyway, until next time, this is Ty and Adventures in Street Epistemology. Let's chat sometime.
Welcome back. Trying to get my levels back the way they were before we went to the audio recording. We still need to work on the volume on that thing. I had to crank everything up, and I still don't know how well it went out.
Okay.
Is there anything else you can do to bump it up?
Sure, absolutely. I can make this thing bleeding.
Okay, great. I would at least try for a double of what volume you got on there now. Anyway.
Wow, double. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of interesting points made in the audio. Where do you want to start?
Sure. Basically, how about just the reasoning that he was using at the start? We can probably go through it real quick. He was basically supporting his belief in God when we were first talking by some really beautiful things he was seeing in nature. And I think the thing that I heard a lot of times was, you know, this can't happen by chance. This river, this beautiful waterfall couldn't have happened by chance. And he was using that to support his belief. Have you heard of that, something like that before?
Oh, yeah. One of the... one of the biologists, so he's a scientist that was walking through the mountains, and he was thinking about religion and thinking about evolution and stuff. And it was dead of winter, and he turned a corner, and he saw a waterfall frozen into three parts. I can't remember who it was offhand, the name of the scientist. But he said he hit his knees and accepted Jesus right there because of the trilogy, just because he saw, you know, an unusual sight. And, you know, it's like he threw out all of his scientific education and just jumped on a miracle, even though it wasn't really a miracle. It was a waterfall that was in three parts, but it happened to freeze in three parts, and he took that as a miracle. But, so, yeah, this kind of thing happens all the time, especially when you have quasi-believers or weak believers going around all the time, every day, saying, God, just please show me a sign. So whenever anything strange happens, they jump on it as a sign from God. Did I ever tell
you? I hear the phrase,
yeah,
it couldn't have happened by chance, I also hear something that sounds like there has to be meaning behind this other than what we're just seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Because for when I hear chance, it sounds like, oh, well, there's no meaning or purpose prescribed in it, and that's not beautiful. I don't have a place in the world if there's no... everything happened in chance.
Yeah.
But with chance, I have purpose. I have chance, I have a meaning. And I feel like that's a call or a pleading to rationalize perhaps an unfounded belief,
mm-hmm,
because they haven't realized that they can make their own purpose in life,
right,
or they can find their own meaning in life. Mm-hmm. They don't have to have one prescribed for them.
But it also leads into this narrative of Christianity where you and the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, are bosom buddies and very close, and he loves you more than he loves his own son. I mean, how arrogant, how important would that make you feel if you believed that God is pulling miracles just for you as a sign? You know, it's the height of arrogance.
Right. I mean, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think there's definitely a point to having a giant, powerful being in your corner pulling the ropes for you,
mm-hmm,
and letting you be able to get away with things that, you know, you couldn't have done if you were just by yourself. But the thing is,
or didn't have anything
feeling,
to do with you. There was a guy,
right,
I knew that I asked him why he believed in God, and he said, well, I was looking for a sign. I've been asking God for a sign, and then one day, you wouldn't believe the number of sevens that I saw that day. There were sevens on my payroll check. There were sevens on my, you know, my bill receipt, and just one thing after another. Just so many sevens, he couldn't believe it. So that was a sign from God.
Right. But just because it feels comforting or that it feels some sort of confirmation bias for you,
uh-huh,
doesn't necessarily make it true, and it's not a reasonable way to get to a truth. And it's not one that a lot of people would allow if it pointed to a different God.
Right.
So it's just a battle of inconsistency that doesn't really result in getting a better idea of how the universe works, or getting a belief system that's closer to how reality needs to work, or basically needs you
to be in order to behave more well with the people around you who are also in reality. And that's always a good thing.
Right, right.
So he mentioned that he got a lot of benefits from his beliefs after we had moved on from that topic. He said that, you know, it helped them not only just be sober, but also helped them get out more, respect his family more, even learn another language. He said he picked up Spanish because of this faith that he had. It helped him see the world, helped him get a better
world. Well, good for him. But he's not giving himself credit for the things that he has done. He's giving all the credit to God.
Yeah. In fact, I feel like that. What is that? What do you think is the reason why people would rather, you know, push away benefits or merits that they've done themselves and ascribe it to their God belief rather than,
because,
you know, own it
themselves? I know it feeds into that narrative that they're the best buddies with the God of the universe. I mean, with the creator of the universe. You know, it feeds it and lets them feel better about themselves and their relationship with this being. You know.
Is that a worthwhile trade-off, though, I wonder?
Because, well, not only that, it's what the Bible tells them. The Bible tells them that they are nothing without God, and they, you know, they have to believe that. It's the Word of God, after all.
Do you think there's also an aspect to that where if I ascribe my merits and the good things that I've done to my God, then the bad things that happen to me or the bad things that I don't have any control over, I can also ascribe to a God? So that way, everything's under the default control.
Yeah, but if the Bible tells you, you're a mere mortal, a frail human, and a sinner, you can either ascribe it to yourselves and your own failures, or you can ascribe it to another magical being, Satan, you know, and the devil made me do it.
Sure, or Adam ate the apple, or Eve tricked Adam to eat the apple, and therefore I'm fine, but...
Right.
I mean, what kind of a minimal sin is the sin that you're born with, where you're just born into it? And I feel like I do see that there's some benefit in saying, hey, this all-powerful being who has my side, who loves me very much, is also responsible for not only just the great things in my life, but also partially will take care of all the bad things that happen in my life. And I can see the sense of control. But I feel like you're giving up too much. I feel like you should have ownership of the good things you do.
Yeah.
You should have responsibility for the things that you've done. Today I lost a precious tool that one of my friends uses at work. He bought this tool himself. It was a magnifying glass.
Uh-huh.
And I remember borrowing it from him and asking if I could borrow it, but I could not return it to him. I didn't remember returning it to him. So when he came back to me and he asked me where it was, I said, you know what, it's my number one priority to find this, and I'm really sorry I didn't give it back to you. I owned up to it immediately, and I looked around the lab, could not find it, and I told him, again, listen, I messed up. Your opinion of me means a lot, and I really messed up. I will make this up to you. I took your magnifying glass, I didn't give it back to you, and it's my responsibility that I lost it, and I really genuinely apologize. And he said it's not a big problem. It only costs like $6, but out of the principle of the matter, I just wanted to let him know that I messed up and I'm owning it. And I already bought him another one on Amazon. I'll surprise him with it on Monday. But I feel like there's something worthwhile in owning your mistakes, because giving them up to God, basically saying, oh, I lost the magnifying glass. Oh, well, I'll go to a corner and pray to God to forgive me for this sin.
Right.
Ignores the fact that I did harm or I crossed a good friend. And by owning that, I feel like you've become a better person. You exercise your character to an extent, and without that, you lose too much. So even when you give up something bad to God, you lose something from it because you fail to grow from a person as a result.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And we've hit the bottom of the hour, but I'd like to say on the same thread, that says if you've got a religion there, priests or anybody can forgive sins of any kind and all kinds, you'll have sins aplenty. I think it was Thomas Paine that said that. You know, he recognized the danger in that forgiveness doctrine. Another friend was saying, telling me, he said, you just want to be an atheist so you can sin. I said, and that's better, that's worse than sinning all you want and then just asking God to forgive you and sinning some more. What's the difference? And he didn't have an answer to that. Anyway, this is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LP FM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We are live today on February 7th, 2018. We're going to take a short little break here. Let's play one of the atheist songs that I referred to a little bit earlier. This is Annie DeFranco, and she asked the question, what if no one's watching? And indeed, they aren't. But anyway, here we go.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We just need to prove it.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Welcome back. I'm Doubter 5, and this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour at WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we have a Wombat on the line. Say hi, Wombat.
Wombat!
Okay, that's better. That's better. And we usually talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville after the break like we just had. So let's get into it. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 15th year now. ASK has nearly 800 members. I think this morning there were 797 members. And you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org. Or you can go directly to meetup.com and search for Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. And if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't have one? Start one. Also, you can join ASK in person at our weekly meetup. which happens every Tuesday evening at West Hills Taps and Flats on Kingston Pike near Westtown Mall, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everyone is welcome. That is, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. But really, anybody who just wants to come and have good conversation, we can promise you that. It'll be interesting. And another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for more than 20 years. And RET has bi-weekly presentations and discussions. They're a little more formal group than the Atheist Society of Knoxville. And that we get together for beer and food and discussion. RET generally has presentations and, well, roundtable discussions, as it were. They meet the first and third Sunday at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. Just go online, go to rationalist.org, and click on upcoming events to find out more about it. There's another group called the Sunday Assembly. Excuse me. Had to cough. Sunday Assembly started in England a few years ago and now has spread around the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in gods, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They, however, only meet once a month, and that's on the fourth Sunday. They meet in the International Building downtown, Sunday mornings, be there or be square. Then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or just like to find other free thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. So if you're a student, look up the Secular Student Alliance. And earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV show. It's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it most Wednesdays between 6:30 and 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. Or you can watch it streaming online, like most of us, on ctvknox.org. And you can also find archives of their shows on YouTube, where a fan has been recording them and posting them. Just go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved in the TV show or this radio show, just come to an Ask Meetup or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. You used to be a co-host actually here in the room with me, Wombat, and then you took a job and moved away and have to do it by telephone now. But it's all good. So, getting back to our conversation.
So,
where were we? We were talking about street epistemology and how people believe and what they assign to their God friend and what they can assign to themselves. Hold on. I'm losing a connection from you onto the program. All right, you're back again. Go ahead. I'm sorry
okay,
for the
cool.
break.
No, you're fine, but without that.
Nope. Still not working. I don't know what the problem is. I'm trying to work with an iPhone here.
Oh, you're fine. Why don't you take up and I'll try to chip in the next couple of seconds.
No, it's going now, so let's try to see if we can go on.
I said he couldn't rely on himself because he had been an alcoholic for a while.
Right.
Or actually, and he'd been recently.
Try it again.
And he didn't want to be left with his own devices, so that's why he believed in God. What do you think of that as a reason to believe in God?
Just because he'd have to face the universe by himself? I mean,
basically, yeah.
Yeah. Well, from my view, he's doing it anyway. He's just giving credit to an invisible friend. But
I think that's a good point.
I mean, yes, there is something that you can be said for having the Sword of Excalibur hanging over your fireplace at home, and it's getting magic powers from it, and being able to be a stronger person because of it. But I think it's just a crutch. I mean, it's nice to have a crutch if you need a crutch, but I would think that you would need to be able to take responsibility for your life yourself and get the courage and the abilities and the recognition of both of those and attribute them to yourself so that you can grow with them and move forward.
Right. You know, have you ever seen a person in, or have you ever heard of the stereotype of an abusive relationship where, like, the guy might tell the girl, you're no good without me. There's nothing you can do without me.
Uh-huh.
I kind of feel like it's a person who's in this kind of religious paradigm where, you know, he attributes all of his good things that's happening to him to his God. He attributes bad things that happen to him as, you know, a grace that can be potentially saved through his God. And even when he's stuck with his own devices and he's still managing to make it through the world and might be a good citizen and maintain a sobriety for an extended period of time,
yeah.
He attributes that to God and says that even without God, he wouldn't be able to do that. Yet in reality, he's doing that without possibly a God at all.
Uh-huh.
And he's never given himself a chance to just claim his own good deeds and his own good merit.
Yeah,
and it's enabling him to be even more dependent on his God by doing that because he's never giving himself the tools he needs to overcome his dependency.
Right.
Do you see that?
Right, I do see it.
Yeah.
And there are actually some atheists out there that I've talked to that say we really shouldn't try to convert religious people. Because, you know, if they really need God, who are we to take God away from them, you know, and leave them out there on their own without their all-powerful friend to help them through their lives? But to me, that's another form of arrogance where they say, I'm an atheist, I don't need religion, but there are people out there that aren't as strong as me and can't be as good as me and can't come to the conclusions I have because they're too weak. You know, it's another form of arrogance that they don't give them the same kind of courage or potential for courage that they claim for themselves.
Do you think that perhaps there are atheists that don't want to convert their friends because it takes a lot of energy to convert people one way or the other?
Certainly.
And really, really, sometimes the best way to come to terms with what some a God, especially on the God belief, it's for you to figure it out on your own. Because, you know, like,
well, everybody has to, no matter what happened. No matter how strongly you want to convince somebody that there's no God, they have to come to that conclusion themselves. You may help them along the way. You might give them information that they need when they need it. But at the same time, nobody can make you believe anything that you don't believe. The belief has to come from within.
That actually leads to one of the points that I wanted to bring up today originally, which was the state of belief and how it's not actually possible to choose what you want to believe. I feel like belief is just belief is what comes about on its own, independently, based on whether or not you're convinced something's true with a body of evidence. So, like, whether you're convinced something's true or not is something you can decide. You can make a decision whether or not you're satisfied with the body of evidence.
Right.
But once you are satisfied, the belief comes about without any, you know, effort on your part.
Right.
Because now you believe it because they set aside your standard of evidence.
Right. Or you don't believe it because you've lost confidence in the things that you were believing in for whatever reason. But this is, we've talked about Pascal's wager many times on this show. And that's one of the faults built into Pascal's wager. You know, the wager says that you should just believe anyway because if you're wrong and you don't believe in God, you go to hell. If you're right, you know, if you believe in God and you're right, you get to go to heaven. But it's an argument for choosing to believe in God. And you cannot choose. It's not
something you can... You could have had your bets even if you wanted to.
Right.
You're just either convinced that it's true or you're not convinced that it's true.
Right.
Belief comes with it.
You can say you believe, but wouldn't an omniscient God know that you don't really believe, that you're just trying to get a free ride into heaven? It doesn't work.
Right. I can tell you this, too. There are people who maybe have a Christian spouse, maybe have Christian kids, and their lives would be totally better if they just were a Christian themselves. But they just can't be convinced with the evidence. Maybe they've just had a fallout with their own religion, and they just can't see it the same way anymore.
Yeah.
And they may not even be an atheist.
Yeah.
They may still technically just be struggling to try to fall back into their faith, that fold, and they can't.
Yeah, there's an analogy that I hear from some people saying it's like you cannot unlearn a magic trick once somebody explains it to you.
You know,
and,
right.
And once you get to the point where you understand how religions work and why there are no such things as miracles and on and on and on, you can't just turn around and start believing again and just say, oh, I choose to believe. You know, like it's like saying, I choose to believe that the magician is really sawing that lady in half. When you know how it's done,
even if it makes your life very easy, and I talked to Rob about that. I feel like near the end of our conversation, he was saying, "Well, you know, it may not just come down to belief; it may just come down to faith. At that point, you just need it. Sometimes you may not have the answers for everything. Sometimes you just don't know what you need to do, or what you can believe in, or what you can't believe in, or whether you can believe or not." Whatever. Sometimes it just requires faith, and you have to just believe it when you don't have all the answers.
Another way of putting that same thought is fake it till you make it. In other words, pretend that you know these answers, even though you don't, and after a long time, you'll believe it. You'll believe that you have those answers. And it doesn't work for me, and I'm sure a lot of people don't work for, but what do you do?
What do you think for him, though? It sounds like at least he's with. So I asked him, you know, is that a reliable way to come to true conclusions in the talk?
Yeah.
Said, you know, for science, no. For science things, no. For like hard truths, no. But for him, it was good enough. And I asked him what he like really meant by that. And he says, well, you know, I'd like to have true, you know, answers to like come to decisions. But for me, faith is enough. And I felt like there was a very distinct distinction that he was making between truth and his faith, or basically reliable ways to get to the truth, such as like science and reason and logical thinking, and faith, which he seems to admit is not a reliable way, but mm-hmm. keeps him capable of living on a way that allows him to operate functionally in the world.
Yeah, and that's kind of telling, too, that he wouldn't count his belief in God as a hard truth, like science.
Right. But it also makes me a little sad, because I kind of do see that situation as a little, you know, I have empathy for a person who's willing to live with a lie, you know, just to keep functional. It seems like there's an acknowledgement on his part that what he believes may not necessarily be an absolute truth. And we went from, you know, from the beginning of the conversation to, look at that beautiful sunset. There's no way that can't be evidence for God. I believe in him 100%. Uh-huh. To at the end of the conversation being like, listen, there's true things and then there's my faith, and I need my faith to stay functional. Like, we did that entire spectrum in one conversation. I didn't want to push it any further because he really did need, I felt like he did need his faith, and I didn't want to harm him. Uh-huh. That's not the goal of many of my talks.
Yeah.
But I do think there's some sincere kind of sadness that comes about with it. And I don't know if that's arrogance on my part, but I didn't want to push it any further than that. What do you think?
Yeah, a lot of times, I mean, I've seen it many times, that if you push too hard, you get a rebound effect. You get people that just dig in harder and use faith more. I think, you know, the best thing is just to give them a little information, because the brain will only process so much information at a time. Let them, you know, let people chew on that information for a while, and then when they're ready for more, they'll ask for more.
I think so, too.
That's how it happened for me.
You know, I can start to see it from his perspective, like, as if he was jumping over, you know, a pit in the dark, and he doesn't know how deep the pit is, so he's like kind of just happy to stay where he is mm-hmm. on solid ground, even if that solid ground is maybe quicksand. Like even if it's not the best solid ground in the world, or it's just held up by like rickety, you know, stakes.
Right.
But the thing is, when he's on the other side, there's going to be a rough transition period. Like, once he realizes that maybe faith isn't the best way to come to reliable conclusions, there's a transition period where you look for it. But once you have solid answers or better means of developing true conclusions on things, it's so much better than having a faith-based system.
Right.
And it's so much useful to have these concrete truths, even if they don't placate your ego or make you feel better about your place in the universe. Right.
And it makes you feel so much better to know that you can rely on yourself so much more, that you have the strength and courage inside you, that you don't have to beg for it and hope it comes.
And, you know, this guy was world-traveled. He had a good son. He's pretty athletic. He has a lot of accomplishments in his life and his sobriety that he's been able to extend for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him claim ownership of that.
Right.
Rather than just give up all those good deeds to his, you know, deity choice. I feel like there's a lot of things that people aren't willing to admit that they're good at.
Right.
Mm-hmm. or did good in the past.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that they're overlooking that they did bad and could be reminded of in order to become better people. Like, all the bad things that I've done, I'd like to know about them. I'd like to know a way how I can overcome them, use them to grow and make recompenses for the people I've, you know, crossed.
Yeah.
And then for the good things, I want to own those as examples of, hey, this is something I did. This is a good highlight of my life. That way, when my life is over or nearing over, I can look back and say, these are all great things that I accomplished, just me on my own,
right,
or with the help of good people who love me and have faith
right
in me.
And a lot of religious people think that, you know, the 12-step program is the only way to go. It's the only option you have. Well, besides the secular medical recovery centers that are out there, I mean, those are not religious-based. Those are medicine-based and secular, non-religious recovery institutions. But there are some that are particularly set up just for alcoholism. One of them is SOS, Secular Organizations for Sobriety. There's one called Life Ring Secular Recovery. There are several out there. Just get online and look up Secular Sobriety, and you'll be surprised how many non-religious alcoholic prevention societies there are out there. You don't have to go in there and submit to an invisible friend to get your recovery from alcohol or any other drugs at that point. You have the courage, that you have the strength in you to do that, and they'll show you how to find it.
Absolutely. And I highly recommend that anyone who's in Lexington right now who can hear this show, there's a great community of atheists in this area. And the Atheists of Knoxville is like one of the best groups that I've ever been to. I highly recommend going over to any of their groups again. And could you remind them of places that I can check out?
Knoxville?
Yeah, not only if they're just atheists, but if they're just people who are like maybe still in between,
mm-hmm,
maybe they have questions, maybe they're deeply religious,
right,
and they just want to talk, be able to talk to people on the other side.
Sure.
Not to convert
like
them,
say,
but just to hear what they're about.
Sure. The general public is allowed and welcome to come to our Atheist Society meetings, which is every Tuesday for happy hour, food, drinking, conversation. Come to Knoxville Taps and Flats, or West Hills Flats and Taps on Kingston Pike near West Town Mall, for food, drink, and conversation. It's a family place. We have people come in and bring their kids, so don't worry about it. If you don't drink, you can still come and have a Coke with us and
sure,
sit down and just talk about pretty much anything you want to talk about. There's the Rationalists of East Tennessee. If you're not much of a person to get up and talk or try to start a conversation with someone that you don't know, the Rationalists of East Tennessee, you can go there and it's more of a meeting, presentation, situation where you can just come in, maybe shake a hand or two and sit down and listen to a presentation. And then afterwards, if you want to stick around, you can talk to the people who are there. You can go to lunch with them if you want to. But they have pretty good presentations, and they've been around for 20 years, so they know what they're doing.
20 years?
Yeah. They've got attorneys and authors and physicists and doctorates from UT and just regular Joes like me. So come and check it out. It's very interesting stuff. Go to rationalist.org for more information. And if you're looking for more information on the Atheist Society of Knoxville, go to knoxvilleatheist.org.
I also throw this out there. Last time I went to Rhett, there was like a college professor there who was talking about his favorite parts of history that dealt with like some of the first presidents.
Uh-huh.
And he was doing it in a really animated way of talking about, I think it was Hamilton or Andrew Jackson, and just like some stories he didn't really know about them. And he was describing them in such a characterized way that I felt like they were there in that room. And I just thought that was what a really cool way to spend like a couple of hours on a Sunday instead of like in a church listening to the same stories again, learning about some history from a really qualified individual who really was passionate about what he was teaching and was willing to express that for free to a bunch of people who were willing to just listen to him. And I thought that was such a wonderful thing.
Yeah, right. And we've actually had preachers come and sit and talk to us. We've got Methodist preachers and some UU church preachers. We had one really fundamentalist preacher that came and made he proselytized to us for like 2 months. So, you know,
2 months.
We didn't care for it much, but he came and enjoyed himself apparently.
Ah, man. Don't proselytize, preach, or punch.
Provoke.
Those are the rules.
Either one. Right. Well, we're coming up toward the end of the show. You got anything you want to leave us with? Any thoughts?
Sure. I'm going to say one random thing. I got a really cute kitten. I taught him sign language. Yes, I taught him sign language. You may not believe it, but check this out. I have evidence of videos of it. I got multiple videos. I can bring my cat to you. I can show him. We can do sign language. And even then, you might be still skeptical of this story. But that's totally fine because it's good to have a high degree of skepticism, especially to something as extraordinary as my cat actually able to decipher sign language signs. But still, think about the level of standard of evidence that you have for your God belief if you do have one. If I say my cat understands sign language, which he totally does, I'm literally not making that up, and you're skeptical to that, why aren't you skeptical of the claims in a holy book? Think about that for a little bit. And then always question and then always be willing to learn something new. Also, check out my cat sign language video. It's Cat Sign Language 101. You'll find it on YouTube. I'm being serious. He's a great cat.
He is. He's a sweet little thing. And you taught him how to high five and fist bump and roll over and everything. It's just amazing what you can do with a cat.
He's great. Yeah.
Anyway, so this is Larry and Doubter 5 and Wombat, and we're signing off for another week. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. And one thing to keep in mind is... don't worry about going to hell. Everybody's going to somebody else's hell. So don't sweat it. The time to worry about is when souls and hells and heavens and stuff like that are all proven to be true. And in over 2,000 years, they have not been. So Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, we're here from 7 to 8 every Wednesday. Be sure to check in with us next week. Bye-bye. Bye, Wombat.
Bye.
Listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.